بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. Daily humanity enjoy a lot of ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some ni'mats, only the person with iman in heart understand the ni'mat and repent from that ni'mat. From them, one ni'mat is called barakah. You find many people ask me dua for barakah. Like barakat in the earnings must have, barakat in the homes must have, barakat in the lives must have. So what's the meaning of barakah? Simple definition of barakah is the ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with, maximum benefit from the ni'mat Allah has provided you with. It is called barakah. And there was one person, one pious person in his discourse, he always explained to the people that you must make dua for barakah always. Barakah is very, very important in our lives. Because as a Muslim, our problems will get sorted out with barakah, not with excess. A lot. Probably people get confusion, they want a lot of things with them, they will get barakat in their lives, but that is not the case. Barakat is what Allah has provided with you, your need must be fulfilled what Allah has provided for you, that is called barakat. Well, now this person, this pious person was explaining to everybody what is called barakat. As a small son, should listen to him also, and as the son grew bigger, he came a little bit of understanding. He asked the father one day, you are asking people, you are telling people to make dua for barakah. What is barakah? I can't understand that. So father caught the hand of the child and took him to the bathroom where the geyser was, and then this is called barakah. So he got even more confused. What barakah got to do with the geyser? Then he explained to the child, father explained to the child, that before I got married to your mother, I put this geyser in the house, and today I am taking maximum benefit from the geyser without any repairs, without any problems. So show that he benefited from the geyser Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him without any repairs or even to replace another geyser, and you take maximum benefit from it. So whatever ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us, we take maximum benefit from there, that is called barakah. In one place, one person who earns money, for example, he earns a wage of $5,000 a month. After, when he gets wages, he comes to the bus stand to get the bus. And while waiting for the bus, all the buses are full, and then you see someone going past the same time by the bus stand, asking, where are you going? He said, I'm going to my home, I'm waiting for the bus to get a place in the bus. He said, how long are you going to wait there? I'm going in the same direction, I'm sitting in my car, I'll take you there. So now his work has started already now. He goes home now, the wife presents a list to him for all the necessities of the home for the whole month. Now he tries to prioritize his finance. He pays up all his bills first, his rent, water, lights, whatever it is. Then goes and buys provisions for the whole month. And after buying all the provisions for the whole month, he comes home and gives the wife the provisions. She's happy now. And when a month ends, he's still got the savings of $200 or $300 that the saving he's got now. So this is called barakat in his life. He's got all his needs got fulfilled and still got some left over. Contrary to that, one person is earning $10,000 a month. He comes home, and the scenario is the same when he comes home also. The wife got hold of something they need for the home. So he pays off his bills, whatever it is. They said, when buy the house. But after a few days, the set is over already. He could buy more. And by the time the end of the month comes, he's in a debt of $200 in debt. But he had excess wages yet. His needs were not fulfilled in that excess wages. So that was deprived of barakah in his life. So to have barakah in our life, in our income, to try and understand the income, but not spend excessively, don't spend unnecessarily, and at the same time, don't be very stingy and be a miser also. Then get barakah in your life, get barakah. So the one aspect is this. Now, as we as Muslims, we could understand that barakah comes in different forms for us in our lives. First one we can understand is by namaz. We read our namaz daily, punctually, barakat will come into our lives. Because Nabi Kareem said, the person who reads namaz, Allah will provide for him sustenance from unseen sources. So the more namaz we read in our home, the more barakat will come into our lives. We get organized within ourselves. Because we will read 5 times namaz, a certain time we're going to read. So we learn how to organize ourselves also. And by reading namaz, we're fulfilling the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fulfill the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will look after us also at the same time. So namaz is very, very important, and we know that first after we pass away, the first question in the grave will be concerning our namaz. So namaz is very important in a Muslim's life, bring draw barakat in our lives. Now to see if a person has got more love, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, got more love for the world, how are you going to judge that? Judge that with our namaz. Person is namaz on time, did all his work and everything around to read namaz on time, so he's got no time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he doesn't read namaz on time, he delays his namaz, makes namaz qaza, so he's got more love for the world than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter where we are, whatever we are doing, when time for Allah's command comes towards us, we should leave everything aside and turn towards the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will prove that you've got more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to the world. So you could keep this in our mind, our system, that you've got to encourage our people at home also to establish namaz. And so by establishing namaz, barakah will come into our homes, barakah will come slowly in our homes. One of my ustad explained to one small little incident, explained to me, he said that one day there was a wedding function. So in the masjid, before the wedding, they told him to give a small little talk. So he gave a talk on namaz, how important namaz is. At the same time with namaz, with faraiz, you get adab of namaz also you get. So explaining how is the adab of namaz, but same function with the adab of namaz also. In other words, when you're standing in namaz, your gaze must be on your face of sajda. When going ruku, your gaze must be on your toes. When going sajda, your gaze must be on your nose. And when you're sitting in qaida, your gaze must be on your left. He explained this in the talk also. After 2 or 3 months, a person phones him and tells him that I had such a great sickness within myself that I couldn't look after my gaze. And it became so much out of turn that I remarried again. I've got 2 wives I've got, but still I couldn't overcome the sickness of mine. When after I listened to your talk and started practicing on this, alhamdulillah, from that time until now, then my gaze has come under control already now. So small things in namaz also gives us great benefits, gives us. We don't understand, we think just a small adab of namaz. But the adab has got so much benefit attached to it that we cannot realize that. It is all called barakat in our lives together. Then furthermore we find draw barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reading the Quran, tilawat of the Quran. The more Quran we read, the more we purify ourselves. And we draw the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever Quran is being read, the angels come down, the farishtas come down to listen to the Quran. Wherever the angels come down, definitely barakat in that place there. So the more Quran we read, the more barakat will come into our lives. They have said that previously, the Muslim should study the Quran at night and practice on the Quran during the daytime. That's why there's a lot of barakat in their lives they had. Now we've got no time to read the Quran. We will have time to practice on the Quran. So go try and attach ourselves to the Quran. Somebody asks Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what's the character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she explained, the character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran. So imagine our lives are attached to the Quran and our lives are according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much barakat won't come into our lives? So try and make sure that we attach ourselves, align ourselves with the Quran, the teachings of the Quran, and try to be punctual with that so that Allah, the barakat can come into our lives also. At the same time, to draw the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives is by making istighfar. The more istighfar we read, the more Allah's barakat will come down towards us. By making istighfar, by making tawbah of your sin, for the result, Allah sends more barakat, increase your sustenance also, Allah will give barakat. Everybody is worried of increasing their sustenance. So by making tawbah istighfar, Allah will increase your sustenance also and provide for you sustenance from unseen sources also. So make a habit of making istighfar daily, and the benefit of making tawbah istighfar morning and evening is, our Kavirin has explained to us, the elders, that person makes tawbah istighfar at night before sleeping, then if you go to pass away before the morning, then he will give account for only for one night you account for. Because we talk already for everything. They make tawbah istighfar in the morning, and he passes away before the evening, then he only got to give account for one day only he could account. So much benefit is attached towards making tawbah istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will give life to our life. I will enjoy our life because when we go to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes more strong. Furthermore, if we find to bring to draw the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to the means of sadaqah, charity also. The more charity we give, the more close we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who gives charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's anger diminishes, gets less. But there's that barakat coming into our lives. So much so, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, they could treat your sickness as a sick people by giving sadaqah also. So more sadaqah, that's also a way how to treat ourselves by giving sadaqah. So we have a habit of making sadaqah always, but the result will find barakat coming into our lives. At one place, there was a small incident that took place. There was a person who loved his mother. The mother got very sick. He had entered into the hospital. They tried to cure her, and eventually the sickness escalated so much that she was put into ICU. Now every day, 3 or 4 times, he's going to the hospital to see his mother, how his mother is feeling. And one day, he was in a hurry, and he urged him, I was going to see my mother quickly now. So he left his office and went to meet his mother. On the way, he saw that the car needs some petrol. So he got to get to the petrol station to fill some petrol. And what he sees there, he sees one little cat that's got a lot of kittens. And they're very, very thin and like sickly looking, very hungry they were looking. He felt sorry for the kitten. He went to the shop, he bought some milk and some fish, whatever it is, and gave to the cat to eat. And he left home there. When he went to the hospital and he went to the ICU, his mother wasn't there. Now I got even more worried. My mother said, what happened? Took a bad turn, what happened? She asked the nurse. The nurse said, no, it was at the reception, they have transferred her somewhere else. So he went to the reception and told her she was transferred in the certain ward. When he went there, he saw his mother was sitting and she was making dua, Krishna has making dua. When she finished, he asked the mother, how did you come here? You were there, you were so sick, you were there. He said, I don't know anything what happened, but I saw that there was one cat or the kittens definitely has been making dua for me. When they finish making dua, I got better and I came here. So it shows how important to give sadaqah also is a means to draw Allah Ta'ala's mercies and barakat in our lives. The all pious people will find they made a habit of always giving out some sadaqah, that the result barakat came into their lives also. And furthermore, you'll find to draw the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives is to maintaining family ties. Family ties are very, very important. Islam promotes family life. And family life can only come about when we fulfill one another's rights. So family ties are very, very important in a Muslim's life. They will try to fulfill one another's rights. But that is kind of a lot of barakat will come into our lives. And go further, we will see that to bring barakat in our lives is by speaking the truth always. And being honest always. That by that also barakat comes into our lives. And when a person speaks a lie, the barakat goes away from a person's life. So to speak the truth, to be honest and trustworthy is one of the major features of a Muslim. One place there was an incident that took place. There was a king, and the king wanted somebody to take his place. And he was very worried who must take his place, because he was gone old also. He got all the ministers together and was discussing with them who must come after me and rule the country. Anyway, they came to a conclusion that we'll get the most brilliant children from the whole kingdom, from there we'll choose somebody. Told the minister, go and take assessment of all the schools and see where the most brilliant children you can get, bring them to me, that from there can assess who can take over the kingship of me. Anyway, the minister went, and after a few days he came with 16 children. They are the most bright children in the whole kingdom. You might get somebody from here who will be able to run the affairs of the kingdom very nicely. So what the king did, he said, I can't make 16 people the king, could choose one from them. And how must I choose them? So he gave everyone one seed too. So go home, plant the seed, and look after the seed, nurture the seed, and plant grows up after so many weeks. Then you come to me, and whose plant is most healthy, I'll give him the kingship after that. And we all went away, all happy now. There's one boy who was very pious also. He loved his parents also. He all kind towards his parents. He also planted the seed never grew. He told the father, there's only little time left now. Why don't you go to the shop and buy one seed and plant it? It might just grow before we reach there, and then I'll become a king after that, and all the problems will get sorted out. But the father was also pious, and he knew what is right, what is wrong. He made terrible of the child in that manner also. He told the child, what you do now, leave it as it is. We can't deceive anybody, you can't deceive the king. Speak the truth, whatever happens. But I won't become a king after it. That doesn't matter. Always speak the truth, must be. Don't deceive anybody. You must be honest always. But this boy now, when he went on the day fixed, and because of that, his plant never grew, he stood right in the back, he stood, because of shame. And all other children came with the plants growing in the pot. The king saw all his plants and put them on set, congratulated everybody. And this boy's chance came, he asked him, what about the orphan? He said, what was I do? I planted it, I watered it, I gave fertilizer also, everything. But it never grew. I couldn't do anything about it. The king got hold of him and hugged him and said, you are the person who is most perfect to become the king. Because the seeds that I gave everybody to plant, all boiled seeds, it wasn't possible for the seeds to grow at all. So all the other children, they bought seeds from the bazaar and planted and let the plant grow. You are the person who told the truth and you are honest. The person who told the truth and honest is worthy to become a king after that. So God shows that as Muslims, we must practice honesty within ourselves, must practice dedication within ourselves. And you must and to be dedicated to somebody, you speak the truth. It's a serious feature of a Muslim. You can't deceive anybody. Muslim doesn't deceive anybody. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person who deceives somebody is not one of us. So we've got to understand the small teaching of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are very, very important for us to put into practice. And once we put this into practice, the teaching of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we find a thing which will achieve is called contentment in our heart. That contentment is very, very important. You cannot buy with money the contentment. So to have contentment in our heart is part of our religious duty and responsibility. In one case of the king also, he wanted to test his ministers, are they happy with him or not. So he thought, called one minister was very close to him, asked, how can I test my ministers, they're happy with me or not? So he said, I'll use the formula 99 for them, and then you can judge who is more closer to, who is more appreciated, what you do for them. Looking at what's the meaning of 99 formula? So get a bag, put 99 coins inside. On top of the bag, write 100, and take and leave it at minister's house. Then we'll see the result, whatever happened after that. So the king did as it is. He filled the bag with 99, wrote into 100, and left in front of his door. In the morning, when his master woke up, he saw the bag outside. He recognized the bag is for the king now. He brought it home and started counting. He only finds 99 inside. One is missing inside. Now again, he counts again. Again, 99, one is missing inside. Calls his wife, calls his children to count. They all count 99, one is missing. Now they're going outside from the house to the palace to see. If one fell on somewhere, they couldn't find anyone. The whole night went well in it. The morning when he went to the king, he asked, what's happening? You're doing very well today, what's happening? He didn't have a good sleep over. He said, the problem was this, that you send me the gift, 100 coins, only 99 coins inside. So the king started saying, we had 99, you're not satisfied with 99, but you disturb your peace because of one that was not inside. So it shows how contentment is very, very important. The nemeth we got within ourselves, always acknowledge the nemeth we got within ourselves, and something you have to deprive of something, make sabr on that, and try and work towards it. But you can't, because something we are deprived of, you can't spoil our contentment because of that. So the lesson here is that when Allah has given us so much of nemeth, Allah has given us health, Allah has given us, Allah has given us wealth, home, family, everything. So one nemeth gets sick, for example, so you don't cry about one nemeth and say, no, it disregard all the other nemeths. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, his Ustad Miya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, was very attached towards him and she always brought his service. One day, he heard that Ustad is very, very ill, a lot of fever with himself. He went to visit his Ustad. He went to visit him and he was wasn't conscious because of the fever, high fever had with himself. After a little while, he gained his consciousness, opened his eyes and saw Mufti Sahib and three other students there. So I said, why are you coming out here? He said, we heard you were very ill. So he came to visit, how are you feeling now? So some people said, Alhamdulillah, I'm very, very well, Alhamdulillah, shukr. My eyes are working well, my ears are working well, I can speak, I can eat, my hands are working, my feet are working. Only the level of fever I've got, that also will get up over it also. So they pondered more over the ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than what they were deprived of. That's why they had contentment of the heart all the time, they had content all the time. We shouldn't lose our contentment because of one thing in our life. That as a Muslim, should try and recognize the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then shakartum la aziyadannukum. If you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his ni'mat, Allah will increase ni'mat upon you. And the more you think, especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will get peace and content with yourself. So the whole thing that we could have understanding of how to conduct our lives and how to draw the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to draw the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we got to work and that will come and we will educate ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first ayat, said, Iqra bismi, said, you will educate us. Education is very, very important. The same Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam also encouraged us to educate ourselves. Allah has given us this understanding, this faculty of understanding. We could try to use faculty in such a manner that we can differentiate between good and bad, halal, haram, right and wrong, so you can live a very respectable life. Can live. If you don't use this faculty Allah has given to us, the gift Allah has given to us, in every small place we'll slip up, make mistakes. We want to fulfill the rights of our parents, for example. We want to fulfill the rights of our neighbors, for our relatives, and our colleagues. What will happen now will all be in the problem. And he said, snatched away from you. But once they are educated and we learn something, then we'll get understanding coming to us. When understanding comes within ourselves, now we'll be able to recognize one another's rights and fulfill the rights of one another, and the result will be happiness after that. So Allah Ta'ala just tawfiq of understanding and to educate ourselves, whichever way is possible to educate ourselves, whether you have kitab reading in the masjid, or at home kitab reading at home you have, or you have personal reading, Islamic kitab, or personal on your own aspect, whatever it is, try and educate yourself with the teaching of Islam. That will give you barakat in your life, and it will save you from a lot of sorrow, a lot of fear also, and will get content will come into our life, which every Muslim hopes and wish to get contentment in their lives. Allah tells us tawfiq of understanding and practicing and educating ourselves Islamically in such a way that we learn to fulfill the rights of one another, and the result will be happiness in our lives.